Hi, everybody, and welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining this podcast today. This is actually going to be my Q&A episode this month. There are a few viewers who sent in some questions that they had to be addressed during this podcast. So have no fear. I'm going to do my best to answer them as well as possible. However, I do have a fearless co-host with me today who's going to help me tackle some of these very, very good, very hard, I think, questions as well. So my lovely co-host name is Aaron. Aaron is currently in the Bay Area. He is an intuitive reader. He is also a Reiki practitioner. He has, I believe, if I remember correctly, you've also taken classes at the Angel Light School of Metaphysics in Berkeley. And you also are currently, I don't know how often, but I know that you currently practice Reiki at the Badass Place for Healing in Oakland, California. So welcome, Aaron. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. And I'm excited to answer all these questions that even in my experience, I feel I still wonder, you know, what's behind all these doors, you know?
Yes, I think these were actually some really good questions because a couple of them, I'm really going to have to really think about it when we're on the phone. Some of them are a little, they're really tricky, but they're food for thought. And I think once we tackle them, everybody will understand why maybe we struggle on a few of the questions today. But I kind of wanted to kick this off with a viewer who sent in a question about, can people share, or they asked, can people share the same spirit guide? I think this is a very good question. And you don't actually really read about this. Have you ever read about this at all in a book?
I have not. Nothing about sharing spirit guides at all. And I mean, I do have my fascinations with guides and I talk to them all the time. But in terms of sharing spirit guides, I feel like it might actually be... It's kind of a loaded question to me because I feel like we have, you know, an assortment of guides and our main guide, which everyone is, you know, everyone has at least one main guide. I don't believe those ones are shared. However, I do believe we have guides that come into our lives for a period of time. So just think of it as, you know, you're born with family and your family sticks with you your entire duration of your life. But then you also have friends. Some friends are with you for elementary school. Some friends are with you, you know, just for high school. Some friends might be with you for, you know, 20, 30 years and then they're gone. So I kind of like to imagine or believe that guides are pretty much the same way. And I believe that just like make new friends, you can actually go and, you know, search for new guides. I myself, whenever I have a struggle or I'm looking to maybe better myself in, you know, a certain way, I'll, you know, close my eyes and I'll just pray and talk, you know, talk to spirit and ask for a guide to come and help me for, you know, something for work, or maybe even one to say, hey, I need a guide to help, you know, kick my butt so I can get into the gym. And, you know, I'll request random guides. And my favorite one is parking. You know, I always ask for help with parking and I've always had really good luck with parking, usually within a minute or two.
I think that's really awesome. I think I always forget to ask for my parking guide, even though for me right now, since I'm in a different state, you know, and it's not nearly as bad as where you are, where you need like 12 parking guides to help you locate one, you know, one little area to park your car.
I've actually had a friend yell at me just out of the blue. We were going to the city one night and, you know, I'd gone with them a few times and all of a sudden they look at me and they're like, what's wrong with you? And I look back asking like, what do you mean? I was just on my phone or something. And he says, every single time you've come to the city with us, we've always found parking within like a minute or two. And at that moment I thought, and I was like, you know what? I think it's probably because one, I didn't think to ask for help at that moment. But two, I also had maybe a couple of drinks prior to heading to the city. So I think that kind of just, you know, kind of threw me off my radar, I guess.
Yes, probably. Well, I think this is a very good question. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples because when I saw this question, if you would have asked me this question a few years ago, I would have said, no, I don't think that we could share the same spirit guides, but you brought up a very valid point. Since we do have various guides who do come in depending upon, you know, If we need them to help guide us in the love department or financial department, whatever. I really wonder though, if spirit guides or guides come in to help, I don't know, what if you and your sibling kind of like have this lesson that you need to learn together? Why wouldn't there be like one spirit guide to help you both learn? You know what I mean? Like to help you learn that lesson. So maybe at that moment in time, they're there to help in that way. You know, maybe it's the lesson of forgiveness. So therefore they're kind of acting as a guide for both of you.
That's actually a really good point. I don't think I've actually ever thought of it in that way, but I mean, it makes complete sense because just like guides, your own personal guides are there to help us and, you know, push us into a certain direction just so that we can learn whatever lesson we need to learn. I can't, you know, see why that wouldn't be where there's one guy that's right there and, you know, hey, you and your brother or your sister, you guys need to have this interaction for your soul so that way you guys can learn, you know, how to, you know, work better with each other or learn to be more compassionate with each other or whatnot. That definitely makes sense to me. And, you know, I say, why not? Like, why wouldn't you be able to share a guide in that fashion? Definitely. I think that could be a possibility.
Definitely. And so I do have a little story I wanted to tell you. So back in 2000, I think it was 2015, there were these siblings, these girls who I was teaching just intro to psychic development. And I gave them a homework assignment and they were supposed to go home and get the name of their guide. Well, the next week when they came, you know, to class, they both thought that they shared the same spirit guide because they both got the name of a guide whose name was the same. So I wondered, you know, are they sharing the same guide or is it just coincidence that they both happen to have a guide with the same name? You know what
that's,
I mean?
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, I definitely now want to sit down and, you know, kind of have a talk with my guides and, you know, see what information I get on that. But I mean, it definitely makes sense. I can definitely see that with siblings just because you're bond so close, you know, but maybe even best friends, you know, lifetime friends or people who just connect so well. Maybe there's a guide that is there for them to help them, you know, expand and grow and learn the lessons they need to learn with each other and for others. So, I mean, it seems like it's a really cool concept that I've never really thought about. And now I kind of want to go and do some research just to see, you know, what the possibilities are for that, because I haven't read anything like that, at least in my reading so far.
Same here. So thank you, viewer, for sending in that question. It's definitely some food for thought. So the next question that I wanted to move to was from one viewer. They asked, what are some tips to open your third eye? And I think it sounds so easy, you know, and it's frustrating when you're the one who's, you know, trying to learn how to do it. And someone's like, God, it's so easy. Just do steps 1, 2, and 3. You know, so it's frustrating sometimes to hear someone tell you how to do it and you've tried everything and it's not working. So if we take that all into consideration, Aaron, what would you think or what would you say is your starting point for telling someone like how to begin to open their third eye and even how did you begin to do it? Because maybe that would be a little bit of, you know, helpful for them as well.
Right. Well, I'll start with how I began, because I feel like this is a loaded question again that you can talk for days on this topic. So how I actually started, I actually started intuitive practices many times. I'm 33 and I started when I was, I want to say early 20s. It was maybe mid college or something, maybe 22 or something like that. And I remember I practiced and I meditated and I did all sorts of stuff and I was reading all sorts of books. And at the time, Sylvia Brown was huge and I was following her. And I just, you know, I would meditate. And I think my biggest thing at the time, which I still have never, you know, haven't tried to this day, was astral projection. And I, you know, I was focusing and I just felt nothing was happening. So I ended up quitting, which I think happens for a lot of people. And I didn't have a support group. I, you know, just read books and, you know, just researched online and did what I felt, you know, was right at the time. And then I quit for a few years and then come again, you know, I think I was 28. I just got really into it and something kept pushing me towards all metaphysical stuff. And I actually started listening to another podcast and just started doing meditations that they were advising me to do. And I just kind of started to get more hunches and I started to, you know, go places and see a lot more synchronicities just from these meditations. And they were quick 5-minute meditations, just, you know, help me relax. And then eventually I started to take courses. And the way that I felt I was more inspired was the fact that, you know, me being me, first off, I think everyone should know I'm a Capricorn. So I went to see, you know, an instruction manual with extreme details for everything.
Right.
That way I'm like, so what if this happens? What if that happens? You know, and I have an answer, but it doesn't quite work that way. So I, you know, started taking classes, and one of my teachers actually had told me that, you know, there really isn't an exact manual for it because everybody is different, but there are specific things you need to do. And so I just kind of followed them, and then I ended up forming my own group with friends, and Deanna actually became one of them over time, just so that you all know. Yeah. And you just, you know, you work with them and you practice. And one of my other friends, she's a great, you know, Reiki practitioner now. Her and I, in the morning, we would just practice, and I would close my eyes and I'd say, you know, you're wearing a green shirt, and, you know, you're wearing a pink shirt in different days. And she would do the same for me. And that was like one little fun technique that we did. But, you know, of course, what you have to do to make sure you can connect appropriately is I would always sit, and it was before work, or excuse me, before everyone arrived at work. And so I was always the first one there. So I look around, make sure no one's there, so I don't get scared or, you know, maybe look a little funny to them. I would just close my eyes, I'd ground. And it's grounding is very simple. You just visualize roots coming out of your feet into the earth. You know, even for me now with my experience, I feel like it's even with thought and thinking that you're grounding. Because some people aren't very visual, it'll help you to ground. And then just take deep breaths, and then, you know, do a certain prayer. I have a specific prayer that I do for myself that helps me to feel connected, even if I can't do a long, you know, visualization to connect to spirit. Just something really quick that I do. And again, I just feel like thoughts of asking for that connection for me really feels like I, you know, connect to spirit. And of course, it takes practice to feel comfortable with it. And then boom, I'd ask, you know, I'd see a color. Or I'd see a shape, or I'd see a figure, and I'd say something. And I would say about 75% of the time I was somewhat close or on point. But definitely, you know, just meditation, practice with friends. You can make it fun. You don't have to be so determined. You don't have to get angry if it doesn't, you know, if you don't get, you know, the correct answer, because it's practice. You're learning to read the symbols that you might get, or the signs, or the feelings in your body. So don't be hard on yourself. That's number one thing. Cause I'm, you know, I need to listen to my own advice for sure, but, you know, be very gentle on yourself, especially when you're first starting out, because everybody has their own timing, their own way of learning. So just, you know, first off, that's probably one of the biggest, tips is just don't have expectations. And when you don't have the expectations is when the most miraculous things start to happen. You know, you might see colors. I know I've seen some miraculous images that just created in front of my eyes, where there's this giant red dragon over this castle for someone. It was amazing. So you just got to keep practicing, keep at it. And if you have a friend, I would say that's a good way to help.
Definitely.
I don't know if I answered all the questions there. I kind of went on the rant, but.
No, I think that was super helpful for people to see that everybody has like a different experience, and there are multiple approaches to opening your third eye. And I can just say from my experience, and like you said, there's no real manual. Let me preface before I start talking about my experience, there's no manual and there's no right or wrong. But the one thing that I did want to stress, just like you said, that meditation is the key. And I know that's super redundant and you hear that everywhere, but what I have personally found talking to people, it's as if people, you know, want to pretend like they never heard that. They have selective hearing and they don't want to do the work. And meditation is the real work, unfortunately. And I only say unfortunately because a lot of people don't like it. They don't like, you know, sitting down and trying to, I guess, clear their mind. Because some, you know, when you first start and you meditate, your mind is just full of everything that just happened to you today, all the things you need to do tomorrow, all the people you hate, you know, who wronged you. It's like, it's all there and it won't stop. So it's almost like, well, how do I get from that, you know, point A with dealing with all the mind chatter to point B, you know, being able to suppress that and allowing my third eye, if you will, to open. And I think that it's, you know, sometimes you feel like you're on the struggle bus at the beginning. And like you said, there's a timeline for everybody. So for myself, because, and I don't know if this was your experience when you were a kid, but I never could see when I was a kid. I didn't have sight. That was never like my number one gift. I couldn't see anything. I could hear and my sister could see. So together we could do something, right? But I never saw shadows or figures or orbs, never. So I never expected that, even at the beginning when I first started. And I started, you know, like you, I meditated. And to be perfectly honest, I think the first few weeks I was meditating, it was just black. Okay. It was just all darkness. It was just my eyelids.
Right.
You know, nothing. And I didn't really know what to expect because you hear various experiences about what's supposed to happen when your third eye opens, and nothing was happening for me, but I accepted it because it wasn't my first gift. So I was okay with what I had. But I would say that besides meditating, I also, you're going to laugh, or maybe you won't laugh. So I did, I tried to work with stones and crystals. And so I would lay on the floor and I would put, you know, a stone on my third eye. And just, again, I was hoping that boom, it would open, and nothing happened for a while. So those are, I kind of feel like my first go-tos, like meditation and then trying to find the magic crystal, the number one crystal that was going to just do it. But really, honestly, at the end of the day, it was the meditation. It was the focused meditation. And it's like, once I got kind of past the hurdle of all of the mental chatter in my head, that's kind of when I was able to really just focus. And it was, I mean, I can't really say how long it took. It took some time to open up my third eye, but once it did, it was like magic. You know, it was like maybe even opening up Pandora's box to a certain extent, because everything and anything wanted to come in. But it was definitely tricky. And like you said, the process is just different for everybody. There's no right or wrong. But the one thing I do, and I kind of wanted to ask you your opinion about this too. So once it is open, and again, your timeline is different, my timeline is different, what have been for you some of the telltale signs that your third eye is open, or that when you knew you had finally opened it? Like what were like the initial signs that you had? Like, oh, wow, I finally did it. I got there.
Well, actually, it's funny. And, you know, some people may relate to this and some people may not. But my experiences, they weren't so, you know, magical. It wasn't like a huge, like, boom, all of a sudden you're seeing into another world. And it still necessarily isn't like that. Just, you know, for me, just a little background, you know, I've always had like an interest, like I said before, in, you know, the metaphysical world and spiritual world, but I never had, you know, visions as a kid. I never had, you know, any guides speaking to me or anything like that. It's just always been an interest. But the one thing I will say maybe that might be similar to that is I've always felt there's been a protection around me. Anytime something bad has happened within the neighborhood, like one time I remember there was a fire, I just happened to be away. Or, you know, maybe there was something that really, you know, really big that happened within the family that was, you know, a terrible or tragic situation. I just happened to be away. So I noticed there were certain things, even now, you know, in certain situations, I might just all of a sudden decide to switch into the right lane instead of staying in the lane I'm in. And then 10 seconds later, the you know, where I was at, there was an accident. That's the one thing I can definitely say for me, to kind of compare it to everybody else's experience was mine. But once my third eye opened, and the way that I knew it was opened was the hunches that I would get, you know, all of a sudden I would say, you know what, instead of turning right, I just get this urge to turn left. And then all of a sudden, you know, something, you know, whatever I was looking for, whether it's a parking spot or whether it was just like that perfect, you know, shirt, whatever, simple things like that. Because it was something I was really looking for. It was kind of like I was guided to that direction. Also within readings, that's probably for me the biggest validation. And even just exchanging with friends, it doesn't have to be with a stranger because I know it's very uncomfortable in the beginning. But just, you know, exchanging readings with friends and stuff. And all of a sudden I just start saying things that I see. And then you see them just tearing up, you know, and they're like, yes, that's so true. Or, you know, just images as I'm describing someone, or, you know, I'm not a medium, but I remember one time it was when I was first starting to give readings to to, you know, just people like strangers I don't know. I was actually practicing with one of my teachers and she kind of forced us to do it, which was really fun. Someone asked about their father and who had passed away. And I just remember seeing, you know, I remember seeing this teddy bear and it was a coin and I just kept seeing coins and she just started to tear up. And she was just like, it was, and it had to do with relationships. It was really kind of funny after she started to tear up. And she's like, yeah, my dad always says, don't ever pay. Always make them pay or something like that. It was like a little joke they had. Always like a little joke. And so that kind of, you know, that was one of the moments too, where I was just like, wow, like these little things, it doesn't mean anything to me. But it's definitely something to them. And for me, a lot of the things, which I think a lot of people may have the same experience, is sometimes it seems like you're just making it up. You know, you don't really see it like it's like someone pointing out and writing it on a chalkboard. Like, this is what you say. This is what you do. You know, especially in the beginning, it feels like it's just made up. But my thing is, you know, just say it. You know, if you're wrong, you're wrong. Chances are they're going to come back later on, a couple weeks later, and say, you know what, that makes sense. But sometimes they get information that, you know, they may not know what it means at the time, which I've had many people come back and tell me. So, I mean, yeah, it's again, like I said, it's not miraculous. I do get a lot of hunches at work. Ooh, at work. Let me tell you how helpful they can be. I've had many times, and I work in marketing, you know, so it's very, you know, very, high pace. I work in the corporate world. So a lot of, you know, definitely very conflicting with, you know, the spiritual and, you know, the Zen life. But it's, you know, it kind of balances me out. But there's times where my supervisor, you know, she's very on top of it. Everybody knows her as, you know, the one to be tough and get things done. But her and I just click very well. And I've worked with her for 3 years now. But there's times where I'm doing an assignment and I'm focusing on one thing, taking my time. And all of a sudden there's a thought in my head that says, do X, Y, and Z. And all of a sudden, you know, I'll start doing it. And 2 minutes later, 3 minutes later, she asked for, you know, whatever it is that I need. And I've tested it out and I ignored that before. And all of a sudden, you know, here and there, I might get a little talking to you like, hey, I need this assignment. It was due this time. Where is it? You know, but so that's definitely, you know, one of the things that I can definitely say is has helped me, because for me, it just comes in as a thought, but I'm starting to be able to really differentiate, you know, between thoughts and like guidance from, you know, my guides or my angel spirit, whatever you want to call it. And it's really there. Like, I know I've always, you know, doubted it here and there, but then every single time I start to doubt again, it's like boom, just really quick, something just comes into my face and it says, you know, we're here, we're listening, you know, here's the platter, you know, that you're looking for. So, but again, it's not exactly like what I expect it to be. It's nothing magical like they show on TV by any means, but it actually is really cool once you start to really get into it and you know, speak to it and just kind of sit with it. It's hard to explain, but it's amazing.
No, I totally agree. And good point that it actually didn't, you know, manifest in the way that you saw or the way it's stereotypically kind of, you know, materialized like on TV. It's a very different experience across the board. And I can only speak for myself and trying to let people know what I experienced when, you know, when my third eye opened. And how do I know, you know, when my third eye opened? Well, for me, yes, I was able to see at the beginning, I was able to really see my guides and really see the angels and all kinds of critters that would creep in like gnomes and fairies. You know, they were all just like, hello, finally, you know, at the beginning, but things kind of changed. So, for example, I was able to finally see orbs, which I had never seen before, but that, and I want to make this clear to people, this was not like after 1 month of meditation, this is like 3 years after, you know, it was just, I mean, I didn't ask for that, but it's just a shift, as you know, Aaron, you know, our gifts shift. And I just started seeing them and I was like, whoa, okay. You know, nobody, like newsflash, no one told me that was going to happen. Not even my guide. And then I start to see like sparks everywhere. I see, you know, red sparks, blue sparks, pink sparks. Go. I see that every day now. It's part of my life. I see them everywhere. And I know that that's my angels that are with me. I know that that's my, you know, those are my guides. I know it's the archangels. That has become, I would say, you know, the norm for me. And that's usually a telltale sign. And I think for other people too, that your third eye is open. And the last thing I'll kind of say about that is if you feel pressure in the third eye chakra or brow chakra, and you know, where your third eye is, usually if you feel kind of like a pulse, like a pulsation, that's a very telltale sign that, hey, your third eye is like wide open and it is working right now. You know?
Oh yeah.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. And you can't deny that. Ringing. Huh?
Oh, sorry. I've actually had ringing in my ears. When I've done, you know, when I do multiple readings, you know, even it may not necessarily be multiple in a day, but like, let's say, you know, every day or even every other day, I would do like a 30 you know, minute reading, an hour reading. I will notice that I tend to get ringing in my left ear, and I'll be out and about at the grocery store, in line, Target, wherever. And all of a sudden I get the sharpest ringing in my ear. And it's happened, you know, it happens for quite a while. And I've actually had to have one of my teachers and help me and talk to people above to say, hey, you know, you can keep giving them information, but slow it down. Cause I was being downloaded with so much information because I was giving so many readings that it was starting to kind of cause a little bit of imbalances in my ear, I guess, or something, but it's actually stopped since, but that's actually a sign as well. I know it's called what, tendonitis or something. I can't remember. There's something.
I think it's tinnitus.
There you go. I'm sorry. I can't pronounce. Yeah. But at first I thought I was getting that, but you know, when I noticed the days or the weeks where I didn't give that many readings, it would kind of slow down. And finally it was actually just told to me when I was getting a reading from someone else, and she was, you know, she helped me with it. But that's also a sign, especially for, I can't hear very well. I don't have clairaudience. Occasionally I do get words and things, but it's not like definite, but for some reason, my ears, I just, you know, when they're talking to me, that's where I know that, you know, I'm definitely opening up and I have a connection.
Definitely. So I think to round up this question, I think tips from both of us would really be, number one, do take out time and do focused meditation. It's going to be your best friend. It's the best way to open up. And, you know, you can't set a timer, a date and time for the exact day that you expect it to just miraculously, you know, open up and say, hello, I'm here. It's going to happen on its own time. I also do recommend, you know, yes, practicing, as Erin said, is super important to find a group that you feel safe, just to practice like opening up, even meditating together. I feel like sometimes when you meditate in a group, the energy is stronger. At least that's been my experience. And I think that, yes, that also, you know, can really help. I would also say, yes, practice with some third eye chakra stones like sodalite, azurite, lapis lazuli. I mean, try to practice with some of these stones and wear them to open up your third eye. But the other thing I kind of wanted to say very quickly is, don't try to do it too fast. Like, sometimes, even though I just gave you recommendations of stones to use, and yes, they're effective for opening up your third eye, when you're just starting off on this journey, what I have found is that most people, this is the one thing they want to do, and that's it. They just want to open their third eye and move on. They don't care to open up any of the other chakras or deal with anything else regarding like spirituality. And, you know, your guide might be like, hold up, you have some forgiveness issues that need to happen. And therefore we need to work with the heart chakra first before we even can get that far. So just know that, again, everybody's journey is very different. So Erin, this brings me to another question, which I'm so excited to try to address. And I feel like we could actually talk about this one question for 5 hours, so we have to watch ourselves. So someone wrote in, definitely asking this question. It's a long question. So number one, when we see or hear spirits, are they just stuck on earth, or do they come in and out freely from wherever they come from, or are they in different realms which we can see, hear, feel them? So Erin, what's your take on that? When we hear spirits, are they stuck here? Where are they coming from? How are they getting in and out? What do you think?
Oh my gosh, this is such a great question. I love it. Try to keep me on a time limit here, because I know I can go off on tangents very easily. when we see, hear, or feel them, so I think it's actually can be a mix of both. Some of them can be stuck on earth, earthbound spirits, or, you know, others, they can be from the other side coming in and checking on us. So I feel for earthbound spirits, they're just scared. You know, sometimes, you know, they don't know what's happening on the other side. A lot of times, you know, it could be where they just don't know that they passed. So they just kind of hang out, or they might have fun, you know, walking around and, you know, talking to people. And even though the majority of us can't really hear them, I know I have a, you know, friend that is a pretty good medium, actually a couple of them, and they, you know, tell me, you know, randomly that spirits will come and, you know, whisper things to them and say things. And so I think for them, they just don't know, you know, where to go. And but, you know, just to kind of point out there, there's always light, you know, all the spirits can see the light if you just direct them to it. They just don't really recognize it when they're earthbound. And then in terms of them, you know, coming in and out freely, I want to say, yes, I feel that at times, you know, let's say our loved ones can come. I have done, you know, some readings and, you know, also listened to other opinions and such. And I've heard that, you know, there's a certain amount of time that they can come back and forth to us and things like that. But I'm not so sure if I believe that restriction, especially if it's the family. But I mean, yeah, they, you know, Earth, I would say spirits is, and I'm also, I keep wanting to say ghosts and stuff too and go into the ghosts, but I feel like that's a whole different topic. I keep thinking like spirits as far as like, you know, people and I guess earthbounds can technically be ghosts as well. Can they come in and out freely from spirit? Yeah, I definitely think they can if we call on them, definitely. I know there are some, you know, I guess they might be more higher level. I was going to start talking about bilocating, like, you know, they say Jesus does and, you know, angels can do and stuff. But I feel like, I want to say spirits, you know, even if they were, you know, humans or guides, they can do the same thing. And if they're in a different realm, I mean, I want to say, I feel like for me, when I think realm, it kind of reminds me of like Sabrina the Teenage Witch, when they're like, oh, we're in, you know, what is it, the witch realm or something like that, you know. But I would say like, it could be like a different dimension, yeah, or a different level of consciousness, maybe. I mean, everything is energy. So I do believe, you know, there is a different level that they're in. You know, they're not on our level, obviously. There's different planes and dimensions. And I feel like ours is the hardest to get to, and not, let me rephrase that, hard, not the hardest to get to, but, you know, for us to get to them, it's hard. They can come to us just because they're not in a physical form. So when they come to us, it's going to be harder for us to see them and hear them. But for those that can, you know, you also have to discern that they are something that's of the light, because, you know, there's, which again could be a whole nother topic, you know, there's, I believe there's different sides, different energies, lower vibrational energies, you know, you definitely want to stay away from if at all possible. And then there's higher vibrational energies, which, you know, you have to make sure that they are higher vibrational when you do feel something. If you can hear or see them, it's, you know, it's a little bit more of an advantage. Just because you can ask, you can always ask them, like, you know, are you of the light? And if you're not, go away. I tend to follow more of like the Christian or Catholic background, just because that's what my upbringing is. But I believe that all religions, you know, go to the same way. So whatever your beliefs are, you know, call to your higher power, your ascended masters, ask them to remove any negativity around you. Easy, you know, that should generally work. You can kind of do a prayer in whichever fashion that you do to, you know, if it is a negative energy, then, you know, that should help relatively. I've never had any issues. I know there's been a couple of times where I felt some very dark energy around me and I just closed my eyes and I prayed to Michael and I just kept, you know, asking and all of a sudden I could just feel, it took probably a good like 2 or 3 minutes because I still felt it. And all of a sudden it just like, there was a calm and I was like, oh, all right, whatever it is gone. And I filled my room with light and I was good to go. Cause I, you know, I do believe that spirits of, you know, all kinds can come in to your room. They can walk right through walls. So you have to set those energetic boundaries, which do work. You set any boundaries. You can use crystals. I'm a huge crystal enthusiast. You can set those in the room. They can help amplify the energy. You can just use your thought. Again, I'm definitely a huge advocate of just using your thoughts. You can place thought bubbles. I fill my entire room. I don't surround my bed. I actually fill my entire room from wall to wall, corner to corner, top to bottom, in golden light. And I visualize the gold all in the walls. And that protects any negativity from me. And I always sleep fine. I don't have any issues sleeping. And if it's issue sleeping, it's just because of work. So I hope that answered the question. I kind of was trying to condense it. And because I feel like each one of those little questions in there can be, you know, a whole series of shows that we can discuss.
Yes, I totally agree. And I think, as you know, trying to approach this question, the first thing that you said, or one of the things that you said as well, I keep thinking about ghosts as well. And I think that's such a great point of distinction, because I think we should try to define, you know, what's the difference between an actual ghost as opposed to quote unquote, like a spirit, you know, or earthbound, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I think those can be easily conflated and I understand why, but when I hear this question, my mind automatically, I don't know, maybe it also conflated this because when she asks, when we see or hear spirits, are they just stuck on earth? So here's my thing. I mean, it's like you said, it's such a complicated question because if we first address the issue of an earthbound, my understanding is that an earthbound is a deceased human.
Yes, you know, sorry, person who, clarified.
You know, oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. Who used to walk the earth, who has chosen, because free will is the law of the universe, from my understanding, is mm-hmm. that they chose to stay here for whatever reason. And from what I've read from some like past life books is that one of the reasons could be, well, number one, they're too afraid to leave because they don't know what it is. You know, if they cross over, like, are they really going to this supposed hell? You know, are they going to burn up for eternity as the devil with a pitchfork there waiting for them? You know what I mean? So it's like, I think some of them are very, very afraid because they don't know what lies beyond. And so therefore, you know, they feel safer staying closest to the earth because it's what they know. So I've read that that's kind of one reason. So are they stuck in that way? No, they're not necessarily stuck. However, they've opted to stay. The other reason that other spirits might choose to stay, some of them have some serious addiction issues. And I've read stories, God, there's this book called Return from Tomorrow. And it's a book about this guy's journey with Jesus. And Jesus shows this guy, George Ritchie, these spirits who choose to stay like stuck and close to the earth because when they died, they had these super deep addictions. And what they would do is find people who were still alive on the earth with similar addictions and attach themselves to these spirits to also feed off of that addiction. So they're still here and roaming and like sucking the life out of people. Mm-hmm. So, but it's of their choice. And my understanding is that when you like, you know, leave your body to cross, that there is a portal, there is a window of time for you to go back home, but you can say no, you know, and for multiple reasons. So in that case, they may appear stuck, but I don't know. Every spirit kind of has their reasoning, but they do stay close to earth and they may stay here as long as they choose, which is crazy to me. But then again, if we bring this conversation back to talking about ghosts, I've heard from people that, you know, like, you know, a 200-year-old ghost is really just an imprint of energy, you know?
Exactly.
Which is a whole other like can of worms, which again, I don't have that much knowledge about, but I've heard of that. But in terms of spirits coming in and out freely, now, if the spirit, when they died, opted to cross over and they come in and out to check on their family members, I think they do kind of have that freedom. But I'm going to give you a quick side story. And I know we have more questions, so I'm trying to like, you know, do this a little bit fast. But when my grandma passed, she came to visit me, and then she came to visit my sister. And so when she came to see me, it was like a few days after she passed. In my dream, she came to see me and talk to me about my life and about my dad and about a lot of things. But unbeknownst to me, the next day, she went to see my sister because my sister called me the day after she had that dream, telling me that, you know, grandma came to see me. And the way the dream occurred, my sister was like in some room in a house, but it wasn't hers. And she had her kids there, like all of her kids. And apparently my grandmother opened the window and climbed in through the window to get into the room, okay, that my sister was in with her kids. And she sat down and said, I didn't have the opportunity to meet my grandchildren and I really wanted to meet them. And I want you to know I'll watch over them. And she said, I'm not supposed to be here, but they let me come to say hello and goodbye. And then she left. She said, you know, my time is up. They're calling me. I have to go back. And so she climbed back out the window. How crazy is that?
Wow. You've never told me that.
I know. That's really cool. I have my secrets still.
Yeah. Well, I have read that that, you know, there's a certain, and I've read this in numerous sources too, that there's, and I don't know any more than what I've read, just to put it out there, it's not something that I've meditated and received as a message, but that there's a certain number of times that you can actually be contacted by lost loved ones. That it's like, I don't know if I could be wrong again, but I feel like it's like maybe around 5 times is when you can actually go into a dream. Because it also does take a lot of energy for, you know, the, you know, spirits to come into form, just even in dreams, it's energy for them. But I've, right. Yeah, have you heard that as well?
You know, it's interesting. I've never heard that there was a limit. I do know for sure that it takes a lot of energy for them to be able to even come into dreams and even visit us here on Earth. But in terms of I don't know about that. I've never heard of that. But then again, I guess it depends also on what type of contract they have with your spirit, don't you think, maybe?
Right. Oh, my, yeah. So I was actually just going to mention because, you know, I love past life stuff and between life stuff. So what do you think on that, you know, this specific question, if let's say, you know, when someone passes and then, you know, in human years, I should say, maybe 5 years down the line, they're supposed to go into another incarnation. Like, does that spirit, you know, or does that person, you know, Joe, who was married to Sally and passed away, can Joe still come and talk to Sally, you know, after they're already, their soul's already into another incarnation?
That's such a good question. And it's such a profound question too. And I've wondered, I'm going to give you a couple of answers. So number one, I have been told that it doesn't matter if they already incarnated because their higher self, which is their truest self, is still able, you know, it still has, it retains all the knowledge of the soul, all the experiences. Thus, it still can come down, you know, to talk to, let's say, you know, their daughter, if they're still living on the earth or whatever. So I've been told that, no, it doesn't matter if they reincarnated, because remember, when you incarnate, just a tiny percentage of you projects itself all the way down here into the human body. So it's not all of you.
Right. It's only a percentage of your true self, your true soul.
Exactly. And another tiny little side story, and then we have to move on to the next question, is, okay, when my aunt passed away, this was many years ago. She passed away many years ago of cancer, and she was young, and she was an awesome woman. So I think it was, God, to be honest, Aaron, I think it was 8 to 10 years later when I finally started, you know, channeling and stuff. I know that I was asked to get a message, well, not necessarily to get a message from her, just to check in to see how she was doing by a family member. And the experience was not what I expected, because I had done this before a few times with people. And what happened, was that number one, when I do this work, I always see like a set of double doors open up and then the spirit comes through. But what I saw was like someone come through the door and I was like, that's not my aunt, but it was her spirit guide. Okay. So it was her spirit guide. And it's so funny the way he was talking to me. And he was like, oh, I haven't seen you in forever. And I was like, what?
Okay.
You know, because yeah, I mean, why would I talk to him? I mean, granted, my aunt lived with us for some time. So, you know, I was in constant communication with her. But he said, you know, that he had some messages for my mom from my aunt, but that my aunt's spirit was already in the process of her new incarnation. So it's interesting. I feel like I don't know what the rules are when it comes to some of this work. I mean, I think it's a case by case basis sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, again, we don't really know, but this is a topic I love to talk about. So I'm like trying to think of all the things to say. But I mean, I would, it makes sense to me, but then at the same time, you're right. You know, our entire soul is not in human form at once. It's just not something that, you know, physically as a human being we can do. I would love to kind of look into this question more, because it really does make sense to me. And I know, and I, my belief actually, as far as how often people reincarnate, has kind of shifted over the years. Cause I remember when I was first researching and learning just, you know, in all the metaphysical world, I would hear that, once you pass away, usually it's about 100, you know, human years and whatnot, blah, blah, blah. But then now all of a sudden it's like, oh, some person, you know, kids, they remember stuff from like wars and such. So I'm not so sure. It does make sense that they would be able to at least communicate. And it looks like in your way, your example, you know, you actually did receive communication, even though it may not have been them. Their soul was trying to get you a message and, you know, let you know that they're okay and that, you know, they're on to their next, you know, their next lesson, I guess you can say.
Yes, definitely. And there's so much more that we could actually say about this, because I wrote something down while you were speaking, and it was on bilocation, which I actually feel like should just be a whole other episode. Oh, yes. And I think that was a fantastic point to make. But I digress, you guys, because we have to get to the next question, and we only have about like 12 minutes left, believe it or not. So this last question I feel like we should tackle, and we'll have to address the other question in the next Q&A, is a genius and catch 22 question. I kind of felt like I was like, I'm damned if I do and damned if I don't try to answer this, and it's just going to end up all, you know, kinds of wrong. But I thought it was so thoughtful. So here we go. The viewer asked, if we trust in the divine plan or believe that there is a blueprint, how does manifestation come into play? And again, to me, that's the old age question about destiny and free will.
Yes.
And God, I think we all struggle with that, because you have some hardcore people who are predetermination, I guess you can call them predeterminationists, who believe everything is already designed, therefore we have no control, you just go with the flow and get screwed and just move on in life. But, you know, I think for most people who study metaphysics, they believe in the law of attraction, they believe in the idea that we create our own reality. So Aaron, I'm going to throw this your way. I'm going to throw the ball to you first, because it's so complex. I want to know what you think about it. And remember, 10 minutes. Go ahead. Or less. Yeah. Less.
Right. What was that? 5 minutes?
Yes. 5 minutes, okay. For you.
I will. Yeah. Yeah. this question is, it's hard to answer. I mean, I will say, you know, it definitely takes, you know, patience for sure to trust in the divine plan. I do believe there is a blueprint. I do believe there is a plan for everyone. I believe that everybody comes into you know, human form with a skeleton blueprint or a skeleton plan. I don't believe every single thing is laid out there, because, you know, we all have so many differences as far as how we're brought up, how we're born into the world, where we live. So, you know, there's a lot of complex things that come into, you know, just planning, you know, your own life before you're born. And, you know, from what I've actually been told in readings, there are contingency plans. So we have lessons to learn. And if we don't learn those lessons, you know, through one experience with someone, and there's various ways to learn the lessons. Personally, for me, numerous times I've been told that, you know, I chose to have my lessons, my really big lessons come from relationships, romantic relationships, mainly, but also, you know, family relationships and things like that as well. But I was dating someone, you know, years and years ago, and this was actually around the time that really, you know, pushed me into the metaphysical and spiritual world. I was told that I hadn't learned a lesson at the time that I had met him, and that in spirit, I asked him specifically, or his soul, to come into my life to teach me a lesson that I needed to learn. And I was so angry when I heard that. I was so angry because I was like doing my best, you know, I thought I knew what I wanted. I thought I knew what I was looking for and everything, and relationships and work and everything. But it was like a time in my life where nothing that I was trying to manifest was coming to fruition. And I've learned over the years, and this was 5 years ago, over 5 years ago. And in that time, I've learned that you just have to let go. I was so set on trying to, you know, have specific things in a certain way, again, Capricorn, that I was getting in my own way energetically. And it's funny too, because in my first reading, I was told what was going to happen to me in like 5 or 6 years, which was now. And, you know, it wasn't until maybe 2 years ago, I kind of decided, you know what, let me just relax and let go. And things started to kind of come into play. I started to find a job that I enjoyed, you know, with my current supervisor, actually. I started, you know, making the money I was looking to make. I started to find friends that I actually kept as friends that weren't just, you know, you know, people that I had met for 2 or 3 weeks and it just, we didn't click. And then we ended up, you know, going our own ways. Like, I've actually found some lifelong friends, and it was at the moment where I just decided to trust, you know, myself and trust that things would happen if I just let them happen. You know, of course you definitely go after the things you want. Cause I've definitely, you know, and Deanna, you know, for sure that I will go after things now and I will get them. If I really want them, I have no problem doing that. But you just have to let go and trust that it's going to happen. It's going to be hard. Let me tell you, it is going to be so hard. But if you do trust and you go with your gut and you go with what feels right and you step over that fear boundary, which I still have problems doing, you know, but again, it doesn't have to be a giant leap. You can just take a tiny little step forward, literally like an inch forward, and put a little bit of work into it. Talk to your spirit guides, because they will help you. you know, it will happen. But again, you have to learn specific lessons before, you know, those things can happen, which is definitely a huge thing that I've learned just in the last few years itself, specifically in relationships, for sure. I thought I knew what I wanted then. Spirit was like, no, you need to learn this, you need to learn that. And then I gave up. I gave up trying to force things, is what I mean to say. And I just let things happen. Put a little bit of effort in here and there, and then just enjoyed life, enjoyed my time, enjoyed me. And then things just started to kind of fall into place, and they are still continuing to do that. And when I start to feel this little like disruption in my physical being is when I know that I'm going against my divine plan, or I'm trying too hard to get something and create something that probably is not, you know, easy. Not something that I should be doing. I'll put it that way. So yeah, I'll try and stop there because I feel like I can keep going. And this is a great question. I love talking about this, and I can go on for hours.
I completely understand. I think you brought up some really solid points. I think the one thing that I did want to say at the outset, and I think it ties into kind of what you've been saying, is when we think of this so-called, or what's called the divine plan, there's kind of this underlying assumption that God created a plan for you, like 100%, you know, from start right to finish. And I think that that's something that, like, you kind of already tackled, that no, this plan that's created before your incarnation, this blueprint, you helped design a good portion of it. Like, you had a voice to do it, to, you know, kind of pick, you know, help pick your lessons, you know, help pick some of your strengths here, you know, help pick even like your purpose this lifetime. So I think you had an active voice and participation in that creation. So you shouldn't look at the divine plan and kind of like feel so victimized, you know, in the whole thing. And I think there's kind of a misconception about what that means. So this divine plan / blueprint, which to me means the same thing for the most part. Yes, you helped to design and create, but like you said, you didn't create when you were on the other side. You didn't say, okay, you know, I need to mark the day that, you know, my period starts. Exactly. Like, you know what I mean?
Right, right. No,
so specific. Like, you have a lot of room to play. There's a lot of free will, but it's not going to, you still have to learn the lessons. It's just, like you said, you're going to get many opportunities and you still get to react and decide, am I going to learn it this way? No, maybe I get to learn it the hard way because I just refuse to learn the easy way, you know? So yes. You know, that's the thing. It's like, you get to choose that, but you still get to manifest also how you want it to come into being. Yes. You know, I feel like that's also part of the creative process and part of being a creative being is to manifest certain things. Like, I don't think everything is predetermined. So yes, you can still manifest things that you want in your life. However, the answer isn't always going to be yes, because not everything is for you. You have to remember that some of your desires come from your ego and not from your spirit. Therefore, when you're listening to the ego plays into the games of the world in terms of money and greed and power and all of that. And that's not fulfilling. And a lot of that is not what you're supposed to experience this lifetime. Or if so, it'll derail you from your plans. So certain things are just not meant for, you know, for you to create this lifetime. But other things, yes, you can. And you get to create a lot of it. So some of it, yes, is part of your blueprint that you helped to create, but you also get to helped to manifest a lot of the details and the experiences here. And you do get to say no to certain things, you know, and maybe they'll come back around again later in life, or maybe the answer is just no, not right now. So I feel like it's such a hard question, because I can understand how it feels like, well, if it's already created, then what's the point of trying to create, you know, trying to manifest? Well, not all of it is created. That's the thing. You get to play with all of the details, and that's where it's a lot of fun. But you usually have a tendency to gravitate towards what you love, and what you love was usually what you already kind of put into the blueprint. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
it works kind of magically that way. But Aaron, I actually have to, you know, end the podcast because, you know, it's already, can you believe it's already been like an hour? So,
oh my gosh.
Yes. I feel like if people sent in 20 questions, it would take like 3 weeks to be able to answer those questions because we have so many experiences. But I want to thank you for joining us today, everybody. I hope that the answers that we've given you and our perspectives have been helpful into finding, you know, the answers to some of your questions. And what we weren't able to get to this week, we'll definitely get to in the next monthly Q&A. And Aaron, thank you so much for being such a gracious and kind and thoughtful co-host, and your perspectives are wonderful. And thank you for joining me here today. And you guys, we will join you guys again soon for the next monthly Q&A. So please feel free to email me your questions. You can find me on infinitesupply.org. All right, you guys, talk to you soon. And thanks, Aaron. Have a good evening.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye.